Hi, can everyone hear me? Good morning. We're here this morning for a public information hearing in the consolidated proceedings of application 1812-008, the application of Pacific Gas and Electric Company in the 2018 nuclear decommissioning cost triannual proceeding, and application 1807-013, the application of Pacific Gas and Electric Company for authorization to establish the Diablo Canyon decommissioning planning cost memorandum account. My name is Darcy Houck. I'm the assigned administrative law judge for this proceeding. President Michael Picker of the California Public Utilities Commission is the assigned commissioner, and he is unable to be here this morning. The Commission's Public Advisor's Office, and Juanita, if you want to raise your hand, is here in the back of the room and at the table outside. We are going to have a public participation hearing after this information meeting, so for members of the public that wish to speak during the public participation hearing, please sign up with the Public Advisor's Office. The public information hearing is to provide the public general information about the decommissioning process and the parties that are participating in the proceeding and the issues that they're concerned about. The agenda for this morning's proceeding is as follows. First, we will hear from the applicant, Pacific Gas and Electric Company, then from the Diablo Canyon Independent Safety Committee and the Diablo Canyon Power Plant Engagement Panel. Both of those entities are not parties, but they are very involved with the process of the facility, and we wanted to make sure that they were included in today's presentations. We will hear from the County of San Luis Obispo, from the YTT Northern Chumash Tribe, and an added presentation that was not presented last night is from Californians for Green Nuclear Power. The presentations provided by the parties today will be docketed in the proceedings, so they will be accessible to the public, the PowerPoint presentations. We may have a short break, time allowing, between the end of this hearing and the public participation hearing, at which time you can talk with the parties or ask questions. PG&E does have representatives here today and some information out in the lobby. Before we start the presentations, I am going to ask the parties to the proceeding to just briefly stand up and introduce themselves so the public knows who the parties are and which parties are present today, and we can start with PG&E.
Good morning, Tom Jones with Pacific Gas and Electric Company.
Thank you.
Good morning, Guy Savage representing the County of San Luis Obispo.
Good morning, Nancy O'Malley with the Diablo Canyon Decommissioning Engagement Panel.
My name is Scott Lathrop. I'm with the Yakutini Tribe.
Good morning, I'm Dr. Gene Nelson with Californians for Green Nuclear Power.
John Giesman representing the Alliance for Nuclear Responsibility.
Donald Korn, DHK Associates, independent consultant.
Robert Rathy with the Diablo Canyon Independent Safety Committee, although we are not a party to the proceeding.
Jill Zamek, San Luis Obispo Mothers for Peace.
And do we have anyone here this morning from the Public Advocate's Office? Okay. Are there any other parties present that want to introduce themselves? Okay, seeing none, we will start the presentations with Pacific Gas and Electric Company.
Good morning, Tom Jones representing Pacific Gas and Electric Company on our 2018 application for the Nuclear Decommissioning Cost Triennial Proceeding, which we'll refer to as the NDCTP, throughout the presentation. We have our presentation broken up into four large components for the public to oversee. One is the overview of how we approached this estimate. The second is on our spent fuel management plans and where we are in that process. The third is on key pre-shutdown planning activities. And then the fourth is on a status of a Nuclear Regulatory Commission request for funding to pursue some of those pre-shutdown planning activities. This estimate is a very different approach for PG&E. This is our first site-specific estimate. It's developed from the ground up. And when we did it, we didn't do it alone. We used experts in the decommissioning field like Black & Veatch, Westinghouse, and even Padre & Associates for our approach to local and state permitting. And with that, once we had our drafts done, we subjected it to further third-party reviews to help ensure its accuracy and the timeframes in which we would pursue certain approvals. We think this leads to an overall reduced cost in the scope of the project. And we make our declaration that our approach is straight to go into decommissioning rather than safe store. And that aligns with the work of our public engagement panel and other stakeholders we met with. We haven't heard anyone say, please consider safe store. Everyone's asked us to go directly into decommissioning activities. This chart here, it's available outside if folks would like it. It's a breakdown of the large components of how we arrived at the cost. On the right side of this slide, what you see is the trust fund balances at the end of the first quarter of this year, roughly $3.2 billion. The top three items, when they say unassigned cost milestones, that's because those activities occur through the duration of the project, through every phase. For instance, security is the second item there. That happens from the day we stop operating the units until we retire the ISFC. The other components, items 4 through 20, are discrete projects where you can see an identifiable cost, and there's an associated schedule with that in the DCE. The next slide, this covers our fuel management in the decision from our 2015 NDTCP application. We were instructed to examine moving fuel inside of 7 years. Our current technical specification for our dry cask storage system at Diablo Canyon on average is about 10 years. We've conducted the assessment. 7 years is reasonable and achievable. We've put that in our filing. But once we made that analysis and that decision, that requires a new licensed technology, Diablo Canyon. With that, we're going out for an RFP for a new system that will be subject to the NRC's licensing process, and that will further refine this time period. But this application does follow the 7-year process. With that analysis, there are some different approaches you can take, and that was discussed extensively at the May 3rd workshop at the Energy Commission's offices in Sacramento. That information is also part of this proceeding and available to participants. When we further refine that timeline with the request for proposal, we've also secured the Energy Commission's support in evaluating responses to the RFP. I mentioned pre-shutdown planning activities. This is something we refer to in shorthand as the swim lanes. This is an overview of the concurrent regulatory processes that PG&E needs to participate in to obtain all the discretionary approvals from regulators, to basically have the permits and the licenses and leases in hand by 2024 that'll enable us to go directly into decommissioning. This is available outside as well on a large wall chart, and both for this hearing and the later information hearing, we have staff outside that can help folks with this and our filing in general. And those activities are a part of this rate case that's been different for us. We're asking for early access to pre-planning dollars so that we can execute the work you just saw in the swim lanes. So we call that out in this case. We're seeking approval from both the Nuclear Regulatory Commission via an exemption request. They initially told us they expect to respond in either July or August. We haven't heard from them yet, but we think they'll hit that time frame. So we'll update this group once we hear from the NRC about that exemption request. And that concludes my remarks, if you have any questions.
Thank you. And the next presentation will be from the Diablo Canyon Independent Safety Committee.
Good morning, Your Honor. Thank you again for allowing us to present these brief remarks this morning regarding the Diablo Canyon Independent Safety Committee. Okay. There we are. Also known as the DCISC.
The DCISC was established by a decision of the California Public Utilities Commission in December of 1988 as part of a settlement agreement that was entered into at that time to resolve certain issues that concern recovery by PG&E of costs associated with the construction of the Diablo Canyon nuclear power plant. The DCISC was created to review and assess the safety of PG&E's operation of Diablo Canyon and to provide its assessment and recommendations in the form of an annual report. The committee is a technical review and advisory body. The committee held its first public meeting here in San Luis Obispo on May 22, 1990. And the committee receives annual funds for its operations through cost of service rates charged by PG&E to its customers. Neither the committee nor its members have any responsibility for or authority to direct plant operations or PG&E personnel. While the committee is not alone in performing an assessment of safety of operations at Diablo Canyon, it is, to our knowledge, the only outside review committee that was created by a state government which dedicates and focuses its efforts on a single operating U.S. nuclear power plant. The safety committee also meets regularly with the two full-time resident inspectors at Diablo Canyon, assigned by the NRC, which is the federal agency with responsibility for nuclear safety. Diablo Canyon, like many other U.S. nuclear power plants, also receives and reviews from industry groups and also from a Nuclear Safety Oversight Committee, which is staffed by outside experts and PG&E personnel. The DCISC representatives frequently attend these meetings and also review the assessments of industry groups such as the Institute for Nuclear Power Operations. The DCISC also follows and attends the meetings of the Commission's independent peer review panel, which studies and reports on seismic safety at the site. The members of the DCISC and the Diablo Canyon Decommissioning Engagement Panel have recently begun to share information and to work to coordinate their respective efforts with the Diablo Canyon Independent Safety Committee, as it has in the past with other groups, being available to serve upon request as a technical resource. Each year, through the Energy Division, the Commission issues a public notice inviting qualified persons to apply for one of the three seats on the committee. Appointments are made on a rotating basis by the Governor, the Attorney General, and the Chair of the California Energy Commission. In order to be considered qualified for appointment, candidates must possess knowledge, background, and experience in the field of nuclear power facilities and nuclear safety issues. I'd like to provide just a very brief information on each of our current members right now of the Diablo Canyon Safety Committee. Dr. Robert J. Budnitz is the appointee of the California Attorney General. Dr. Budnitz retired from the scientific staff at Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratories and is a member of the National Academy of Engineering and a recognized expert in probabilistic risk assessment. He continues to work on issues concerning nuclear power safety and security and radioactive waste management. Dr. Peter Lamb, Administrative Judge Emeritus of the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, is the appointee of the Chair of the California Energy Commission. Dr. Lamb is an international authority on nuclear reactors operating experience and a leading expert on nuclear reactor safety and risk assessment. Dr. Per F. Peterson is the appointee of the governor. Dr. Peterson is the Floyd Professor of Nuclear Engineering at UC Berkeley and the Chief Nuclear Officer for Kairos Power, a company developing advanced reactor technology. Professor Peterson served as a member of President Obama's Blue Ribbon Commission on America's Nuclear Future, which investigated future options for existing and future nuclear waste following cessation of work at the Yucca Mountain Repository. Since 1990, the Safety Committee has held three public meetings each year in the San Luis Obispo area. During these meetings, the members and technical consultants respond to questions and concerns from members of the public and receive informational presentations from PG&E on topics selected by the committee. Working with Diablo Canyon representatives, the committee frequently offers tours of the power plant along with the committee members and technical consultants and the public.
Each public meeting provides a very valuable opportunity for the public to receive information and address questions and comments to the committee on any matter within the broad ambit of the scope of its review. During the months when the committee does not conduct a public meeting, individual committee members, together with a technical consultant, visit Diablo Canyon to conduct fact-finding meetings concerning the plant's programs, systems, and structures and components, and to further investigate issues or concerns which have been identified. During these fact findings, the members and technical consultants meet with Diablo Canyon employees, senior managers, and directors, and walk down systems and structures and components in the plant along with the system engineers. Reports of the fact findings are included in our annual reports. The committee maintains and reviews at each public meeting an open items list, which identifies and tracks issues of interest to the DCISC from the discussions during public meetings. The open items list currently contains 83 separate entries in 27 categories, and I have some copies of the open items list if anybody's interested in the matters that are currently under review by the committee. Since publishing its first report in 1991, the committee has issued an annual report every year, a comprehensive two-volume summary of its activities for that period. Each year, the DCISC has concluded that PG&E has operated the plant safely. However, the committee has made more than 220 formal recommendations to PG&E, and as required by the commission, PG&E has responded to each annual report and every recommendation made by the committee. The committee's meetings are advertised in advance, and each session of a public meeting is available live and online during the meeting. They're also broadcast subsequently on the local government access television station. To receive more information concerning the Independent Safety Committee, contact the Office of the Legal Counsel at the information provided there or through our website. The next meeting, public meeting of the Independent Safety Committee, will be held on Wednesday and Thursday, October 23rd and 24th, at the Point San Luis Conference Room in the Avila Lighthouse Suites Hotel. Finally, on behalf of the members of the committee, I would like to thank Your Honor again for the opportunity to present these remarks, and also thank the members of the public present here and who attended last evening, and those who have attended our public meetings, who have been very gracious to the committee during the almost 30 years the DCISC has held meetings in the local area. Finally, I would be remiss if I did not again take an opportunity to express the appreciation of the committee to the management and staff of Pacific Gas and Electric Company's Diablo Canyon Power Plant, who have demonstrated and exemplified a commitment to safety and provide an excellent cooperation with the Diablo Canyon Safety Committee. And also appreciation to the staff of the Commission's Energy Division, who ably assist and provide guidance to the committee in its important work. Thank you.
Thank you. The Diablo Canyon Power Plant Engagement Panel will be presenting next.
Good morning, Your Honor. My name is Nancy O'Malley. I'm a member of the Diablo Canyon Decommissioning Engagement Panel, and I'm speaking today representing the panel. The panel would like to take this opportunity to share with you an overview of our mission and role, how we were formed, what we have accomplished so far, and our agenda going forward. The formation of our panel dates back to February of 2018. PG&E initiated the process by establishing a formation committee made up of six highly regarded community leaders from around the country. The formation committee advised PG&E on the desired qualifications of future panel members. The formation committee and PG&E both felt that the panel should reflect diversity, a diversity in interest areas, knowledge and background, and come from differing geographic locations within the county in order to understand the broad range of community interests and concerns. A public announcement requesting interested applicants was made with a significant amount of publicity, including local print and TV news. Over 100 applications were received. The formation committee used a facilitated process to select a group of 20 applicants, and based on that recommendation, PG&E announce the 11 panel members chosen? We first came together as a formal engagement panel in May of 2018. In the past 15 months, it has become very apparent that as a panel, we care deeply about the issues surrounding decommissioning and are willing and dedicated to work together to listen to the public, solve problems, and make recommendations that reflect what we are hearing at public meetings and workshops. The engagement panel is made up of volunteers and was created to foster and encourage open communication and public involvement, to provide education to the public on decommissioning plans and activities, and to serve as a forum for the community to provide direct input to PG&E and regulatory agencies that will inform decisions about the decommissioning of Diablo Canyon Nuclear Power Plant. In the first year, we held 8 public meetings and 6 full-day public workshops, along with numerous panel working meetings. The topics covered include the decommissioning process, decommissioning funding, the lands that surround Diablo Canyon, facility reuse, emergency planning, spent nuclear fuel management, and a review of the panel structure. This fall, we will be collaborating with the county and other stakeholders as we address the important topic of economic impacts and opportunities. We will also be addressing transportation issues related to decommissioning. In the next year, we will continue to have public meetings and workshops on the issues that surround the decommissioning of Diablo Canyon. To date, we have received over 1,000 public comments on a wide range of topics. As a panel, we felt it was important to create a written document that reflected what we were hearing from the public. To this end, we created our strategic vision. This document contains visions, goals, and specific recommendations about each of the topics that have been discussed. It reflects the input received from the community at meetings and workshops, online comments and emails, as well as the panel's ideas generated from the public input. As an example, the community wants to see the plant immediately decommissioned through the decon process, not safe store. The land surrounding the power plant conserved and available to the public, the repurposing and reuse of some of the existing power plant facilities, and the continued safe storage of spent nuclear fuel. These ideas are in the strategic vision as specific recommendations and will require the completion of a complex planning process, as well as continuation of a strong public engagement program. We would like to close by emphasizing the importance of funding the continuance of the Diablo Canyon Decommissioning Engagement Panel to assure that the public has a local forum to inform the decommissioning planning process, and for the CPUC to assure there is adequate planning funds for PG&E to move directly to decon after the plant shuts down. The strategic vision is available on the engagement panel's website and has been submitted to PG&E and the CPUC. The panel has requested that each update also be submitted to the CPUC. We strongly encourage you to read the strategic vision and that you continue to look for an updated document as it becomes available as a way of discovering what the citizens of San Luis Obispo County want relative to the decommissioning of California's last operating nuclear power plant. Thank you very much, Your Honor, for this opportunity to address you.
Thank you, and we'll now hear from the County of San Luis Obispo.
Good morning, Guy Savage, on behalf of the County of San Luis Obispo. As I begin my remarks, I'd like to comment or make note that the Board of Supervisors in this chamber on August 20 will also be talking about this topic. So for the public members that are out there that want to make their voice heard directly to the Board of Supervisors, that would be your next opportunity. Can I get the slides, Carl? There we go. Thank you. A few brief comments from the county. Here's a summary of the topics I'm going to cover. Like the previous speaker and many other speakers you'll hear from today, the county supports moving straight to decon and not pursuing a safe store option. The county also supports pre-decommissioning activities, such as those that have been discussed earlier. I have slides for these next three bullets, but the county does want to ensure alignment with CEQA. We want to ensure that there's logical and appropriate reuse of facilities and that there's sufficient funding for emergency response. On the topic of CEQA, California Environmental Quality Act, as Your Honor noted last night, CEQA and Environmental Quality Act related activities are not a concern of the CPUC. However, the county does want to ensure sufficient funding for those activities, and we believe they're included.
We are concerned that it's all complied with, but we're not the lead agency.
Correct. Thank you for that correction. I want to make sure we get that correct. The county does expect, many have been asking about who will be the lead CEQA agency. The county does expect to exercise its authority as the lead CEQA agency for the decommissioning processes. We also want to ensure alignment with CEQA and other processes, such as AB 52 and SB 18 tribal consultation, and that there's sufficient time for things like updating the county's general plan and local coastal plan as needed. Finally, the county is prepared to support all of these CEQA-related activities. We just want to ensure there's sufficient funding for the resources that will be required to carry out our duties. Next, the county does support logical and appropriate reuse of facilities and lands. I think the decommissioning engagement panel has covered this quite thoroughly. For those who have not seen it or did not attend, a little under a year ago, they held two full days sessions on August 17th and 18th to discuss what was appropriate for reuse. And while the county certainly supports those activities and, as I mentioned, reuse of facilities and lands, the county would not support any shift of risk or liabilities from PG&E to county taxpayers. We are, however, certainly willing to work with community partners to develop a coordinated plan. Finally, on the topic of emergency response, the county, along with PG&E and others, lead the local emergency response activities, and the county wants to ensure that sufficient funding is available for those planning and execution, should it be needed, emergency response activities. This slide breaks it out in essentially three bullets. There's those emergency response activities that are required while the plant is operational, those activities during what we often refer to as early decommissioning, meaning as fuels move from operating plant and into spent fuel pools, and then finally phase three when those fuels and other class C or greater wastes are moved to the ISFSI. The county does want to ensure that current funding levels are provided until all the fuel is moved to dry cask and the plant is fully decommissioned. With that, I'm available for questions, and I'd like to thank Your Honor and CPUC staff for coming down to our community today to allow public comment. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll now hear from the YTT Northern Chumash Tribe. We'll get the PowerPoint up, so just sure. One second.
Good morning, Your Honor. My name is Scott Lathrop. I'm the president of the Yauk Tishu Tishu Yauk Tihini Northern Chumash Cultural Preservation Kinship Nonprofit and also member of the YTT Northern Chumash Tribe. Also known as YTT, so as we go through today, you'll hear that over and over again. Our tribal membership is comprised of families whose ancestry date back to this region for well over 10,000 years. To Your Honor and other CPUC representatives, on behalf of the tribe, we welcome you to our homelands. At this time, I would like to show a short little video where you can hear from other tribal members.
We are Yauk Tishu Tishu Yauk Tihini.
In our language, our name means the people
of the full moon.
Our families have lived in this one region
for more than 10,000 years.
And this is our ancestral homeland.
The place where our story began.
We love our homeland.
And we want you to love it too. because when you fall in love with something,
you will do everything you can to care for and protect it.
This land
and the future of this land is our shared legacy.
A legacy that lives within us all
and is passed from one generation to the next. And the next.
After viewing this video, that everyone today will get a better feel of our connection to the land and why it's so important to us to participate in this process. All Diablo lands are in our homelands. It's essential that we are part of this decommissioning process to establish protocols and future uses of these lands. We know that this will be a large and unique undertaking, but we have unique experience and unique knowledge that will help guide project stakeholders. Some of our experiences include our collaboration with Pacific Gas and Electric Company's DCPP land management team and Cal Poly San Luis Obispo Anthropology Department. In collaboration, we pinpointed the village of Teach Iwi. This village site is located south of the power plant. It's actually a little bit visible in the picture up there. We know about this village from our grandmother's notes, but the collaboration work established actual location. For this combined effort, YTT, PG&E, and Cal Poly in 2018 received the Governor's Historic Preservation Award. We're proud of the award, but more importantly, look forward to future collaborations with the goals of preserving the deep history of Diablo lands. Further preservations will include our cultural resources, landscapes, sacred sites, historical village sites, and cemeteries located on Diablo's lands. We know that the decommissioning process will have an intense regulatory oversight from local, state, federal entities, of which we know we can have effective engagement. But one of the areas that we really wanted to kind of zero in on is the California Native American Heritage Commission. This commission is charged with designating most likely descendants of the area, which our tribe has been designated as the most likely descendants of this area. Through that, we hope to play a bigger part in the overall process. As designated MLD for Diablo lands, we are responsible for a dignified and respectful treatment of human remains found during the decommissioning process. These remains are our relatives, our families, the people who are the reason we exist today. We have dedicated decades of experience in fulfilling the role of MLD. And when the time comes for us to attend to these people, we know the right words to say and the right things to do. This is a sacred responsibility that we take willingly. We also know that there's many federal, state laws, ordinances, and regulations that come into play, and we have a strong confidence that all the powers to be will follow through and carry through with these rules and regulations as it relates to Native American issues. We were quite pleased to look at some of the process to date. Of course, at the CPUC level, we were very pleased that action was taken to, I should say, take no action in reference to lands without the public stakeholder process. And, of course, the establishment of the engagement panel was a very positive thing for us, and we strongly support that overall process. We also discovered through this process that the CPUC has a pending tribal land transfer policy. We understand that in the month of December, the commission is going to be potentially taking a vote on that policy, which we strongly support. It would give the local Native Americans an opportunity to acquire land back, which is a great thing and one of our goals. Pending approval, of course, is what the main reason for today is talking about the decommissioning planning activities. Hopefully PG&E will secure approval to essentially do some pre-planning of the overall decommissioning, which we believe is very important. The sooner the process begins, the sooner we all get involved and try to figure out how we move forward, I think is very important. One thing, though, we would want to point out in PG&E's testimony, it does actually mention that at this stage it does not set aside or recommend anything for mitigation measures, primarily that they need to be determined. But we truly feel that when we talk about pre-planning activities, that it's important that adequate dollars are set aside for those activities, specifically for Native American type of issues. Also, we wanted to address a little bit, I want to say, give some positive responses to the overall Diablo Canyon Decommissioning Engagement Panel. As we went through the process, or as the panel went through the process, and relating to lands and cultural heritage, there's some key points that we strongly support, and we were very pleased that the panel incorporated them into their overall vision. Relating to the land should be preserved for future generations, ensure public access, and also preserve sensitive habitat, cultural sites, resources, especially preserve sacred Native American sites, and also acknowledge the fact that the Native American community should have an opportunity to be landowners or secure the property back. And then, of course, with cultural heritage, talking about preservation of artifacts, including burial grounds, should be ensured. So to this date, we're very pleased with the outcome. We strongly support the PG&E's application. And what I would like to do now is introduce Wendy Lucas, who will kind of zero in a little bit more on our overall goals.
Hello. Kiistu titichu, kiistu katla, yaktohini wasapatu. It is our custom in introducing ourselves that we say that we come from good people, and that means that we're coming in a good way, and also identify ourselves from the area that we come from. So not only did I say I come from good people, but that I come from Tohini, this area here, and from Avila Beach, which is also our village site of Sapatu. You can see from our language up here at the top of the slide, Kiistu Mistu, is that we have chosen this for our efforts to reclaim our homeland. We have faith in it. We have an active nonprofit organization for our tribe, for which I am vice president. We are a 501c3 and help tribal members obtain grants for tribal projects, and then we act as the fiscal agent. Regarding the goals, to us, our culture is both the people of our tribe and the people where and the place that we come from. We don't talk about ourselves as separate from the land. When we speak of our culture and our land, it is what is referred to today as the environment. But for us, it is the sky, Tilhisa, the ocean, Yakspasina, and the land, Yaktspu. What is below the surface and above the surface are environmental resources that are deeply entwined in our culture. There is no separation. Protecting, preserving, and promoting our culture, language, and resources is among our responsibilities in sharing our beautiful heritage and preparing for our future. And, of course, we want to make sure that there's adequate and appropriate funding in place for the mitigation actions that will be required. We have established many successful partnerships and have ongoing relationships with various governmental agencies, as well as national and local groups. And returning our homeland. We have been blessed to have been the caretakers of our homeland for over 10,000 years. And it is that history and therefore our inherent responsibility and the love of our homeland that supports and moves us forward. We also carry the courage, strength, and wisdom within our bodies of all those who came before us. It is in acknowledgement of all those who walked these lands, who offered prayers upon these lands, and whose spirits and physical bodies are now part of these lands that we stand before you now. So as we move forward, the mitigation measures that will be required because of the decommissioning process will be a key issue of importance. We anticipate a lengthy and complicated process with impacts to our cultural concerns. The mitigation measures, therefore, will vary in size and scope, and time will be needed to prepare. The needed mitigations can't all be known at this time, so the planning process will be critical. Within the tribe, we have already started discussing project protocols as well as meeting with potential partners. We want a strong collaboration with the landowner and will focus work towards that. And then moving forward to finalize agreements with the tribe and partners with the ultimate goal of land conservation. So we thank you for your ears that have heard us today, but also for the gift of your open heart. It's been a long time, a few hundred years, since our voices have been heard regarding the ongoing legacy of our homeland. So thank you. In our language, we have no word for goodbye. What we say is sumo kini. So au au, thank you, and sumo kini.
Thank you. And the concluding presentation is from Californians for Green Nuclear Power.
Good morning, Your Honor, and assembled members of the audience. Californians for Green Nuclear Power Incorporated is a California 501c3. We were incorporated in 2016. We are an adverse intervener in A1608006 and the connected appeal to the California Court of Appeals, 2nd District Division 6, spanning the years from 2016 to 2019. We had vigorous participation in all oral phases of A1608006 and submitted about 1,500 pages of high-quality testimony and work papers. We are a groundbreaking, independent, pro-nuclear power advocacy group. Our core, technical core, is four PhDs in fields related to nuclear power production, and our experienced head counsel is a former four-term California Assemblyman, Mike Gatto. We received, in exchange for our very hard work, substantial intervener compensation from the PUC in this proceeding. We represent the interests of California ratepayers and the environment. Next slide. I guess I do this button here. All right, it worked. Okay, so what I've done here is to present a summary of the PG&E DCE cost summary in Volume 3 submitted on December 13th, 2018 to the PUC in these consolidated proceedings. This is a condensation of a six-page, 20-item spreadsheet referenced earlier by Mr. Tom Jones. And I want you to note that labor, which is section of the pie right here, is only 43.6% of PG&E's estimates for projected decommissioning costs, certainly not 100% in contrast to a very highly promoted study. And then when we actually look at the labor that's going to be involved. This is another chart that was submitted by PG&E in that same volume, and you can see that labor here at the proposed conclusion of operations of Diablo Canyon is only 500 people. That's about 13% of the highly promoted study, which claimed falsely that there would be 3,903 FTEs involved in decommissioning immediately. This level will remain for about, it'll remain until all the fuel is removed from the spent fuel pool. That's a very, very industry-wide accepted milestone. And in earlier proceedings, Mr. Jones revealed that we're looking at a minimum of 7 years. We look at the peer plant, which is San Onofre Nuclear Generating Station. Current projections are it's going to take them a decade to move that all their fuel out of the spent fuel pool into the ISFACI. So the CGNP alternative to this is a combination of carrots and sticks, which has been discussed in earlier proceedings and public forums. I understand that some of it was mentioned last night. I was in transit from an American Nuclear Society meeting, so I could not attend. So we have the three-pronged set of legal objections here, the sticks, and the carrot was introduced last night. And the goal is to have a mutually beneficial solution to the problems presented to us. However, we're also making sure that federal Judge Alsup, who is proceeding in the case styled as USA versus PG&E, he is aware of what we're turning up. Again, he's very interested in matters of both California public safety and PG&E's ethical conduct. So all I'm going to advise at this point is stay tuned. I think the proceedings will be interesting. Thank you.
Thank you. Again, the presentations provided this morning by the parties will be posted on the docket for the proceeding. A number of parties, as I mentioned last night, mentioned CEQA review. They mentioned other agencies such as the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. Decommissioning Diablo Canyon and regulating the facility is a complex matter that involves a number of different federal, state, and local entities. This particular proceeding is focused on the decommissioning cost of for Diablo Canyon, and it's a triannual proceeding that has to be filed by the licensee every 3 years so that we can ensure that there's proper funding for the decommissioning and that the nuclear trust funds are adequately funded to make sure that safe decommissioning can occur. With that, we are going to conclude. It's about 10:54 at the moment. We're going to take a 10-minute break before we start the public participation hearing. For those members of the public that wish to comment, please sign up with the Public Advisor's Office at the tables in the lobby. If you did comment last night, you do not need to comment again. We do have a court reporter here taking a transcript, so all of the comments are recorded and will also be posted on our website. I'm not sure of the exact time that the transcript for the PPHs will be posted, but I anticipate it will hopefully be sometime by the end of next week or early the following week. And with that, we're going to conclude the information hearing. Thank you. We're going to get started in about 1 minute.
On the record. Good morning. We're here today for a public participation hearing in the consolidated proceedings of application 1812-008, the application of Pacific Gas and Electric Company in the 2018 Nuclear Decommissioning Cost Triannual Proceeding, and application 1807-013, the application of Pacific Gas and Electric Company for authorization to establish the Diablo Canyon Decommissioning Planning Cost Memorandum Account. My name is Darcy Houck. I'm the assigned administrative law judge for this proceeding. PUC President Michael Picker is the assigned commissioner, and he was unable to be here this morning. The commission's public advisor's office has a table with a sign-up list out in the lobby. So if you want to speak today and you haven't already signed up, please go out in the lobby and provide your name to the public advisor's office. Prior to the opening of this public participation hearing, a public information meeting was held to provide the public additional information on decommissioning and party positions. The presentations provided by the parties will be posted on the Commission's website in the formal docket for this proceeding. Before we discuss the agenda and the purpose of tonight's PPH, I do want the parties in the proceeding that are here today to identify themselves. If you could just come up to the podium and state your name, spell your last name so that the court reporter can make sure to record it.
Tom Jones for Pacific Gas and Electric Company, J-O-N-E-S.
Guy Savage, S-A-V-A-G-E, on behalf of the County of San Luis Obispo.
Scott Lathrop, L-A-T-H-R-O-P, president of the Yaka Tishu Tishu Tehani nonprofit.
Nancy O'Malley, representing the Diablo Canyon Decommissioning Engagement Panel.
Dr. Gene Nelson, that's N-E-L-S-O-N, and I'm the legal assistant for Californians for Green Nuclear Power, Incorporated.
Robert Rathie, R-A-T-H-I-E, and I'm representing Diablo Canyon Independent Safety Committee, who is not a party to the proceeding.
Jill Zamek, Z-A-M-E-K, representing San Luis Obispo Mothers for Peace.
Good morning. My name is Mark Pocta, P-O-C-T-A, and I'm a program manager with the Public Advocate's Office.
John Giesman, G-E-E-S-M-A-N, representing the Alliance for Nuclear Responsibility.
Don Korn, DHK Associates, independent consultant.
Thank you. And I will just note that the Diablo Canyon Engagement Panel is also not a party, but both the Engagement Panel and the Diablo Canyon Independent Safety Committee are interested stakeholders that presented at the information hearing prior to this PPH. The agenda for this morning's hearing is I will provide a brief background on the proceeding and the purpose of public participation hearings. Then we will hear comments from the public. There's no comments from elected officials. Okay. And then after we hear public comments, we will adjourn for the morning. So for those of you not familiar with how the California Public Utilities Commission performs its responsibilities, one of our key responsibilities is to evaluate rates that are being charged by utilities to their customers. This evaluation determines whether those rates are reasonable for ratepayers to pay. In the nuclear decommissioning cost triannual proceeding, the commission considers the decommissioning cost estimate prepared by the investor-owned utility, in this case Pacific Gas and Electric Company, and the decommissioning cost estimate is the estimate for completing decommissioning of the nuclear facility. In this proceeding, we also look at the reasonableness of cost incurred for actual expenses in decommissioning. Once the decommissioning cost estimate is approved, if that cost estimate is higher than what's already in the nuclear decommissioning trust that are in place for the decommissioning, that money can be collected from ratepayers and then deposited into the appropriate trust. That money can only be taken out of the trust for legitimate decommissioning cost, and once those funds are withdrawn in the next NDCTP, the applicant would need to submit those costs for a reasonableness review. If the commission determines that any portion of those costs are not reasonable, the utility would then be required to deposit the portion that was determined unreasonable back into the nuclear decommissioning cost. So that's a brief 30-second, very simplified version of how this works, but essentially we're here to make sure that these costs are reasonable and that there's sufficient funding to safely decommission the nuclear facility. PG&E filed this NDCTP application in December of 2018. The consolidated proceeding regarding the memorandum account application 1807013 was filed in July of 2018. Parties in the proceeding have served testimony. Additional testimony is going to be served in the next couple of weeks, and evidentiary hearings are scheduled for September 23rd through 27th of this year in the Commission San Francisco office. The commission is not taking any action this evening. The purpose of this hearing, again, is to listen to the public and hear public comments so that we can consider that as we proceed in making a determination in this proceeding. So there are party representatives here that have introduced themselves. Formal parties to the proceeding do not provide comment at public participation hearings. The formal parties provide their comments through the submission of testimony and briefing in the proceeding, as well as cross-examination of witnesses during scheduled evidentiary hearings. The Public Advocate's Office, which is here this morning, is an independent party that participates in the commission proceeding as a party. They are not a decision maker in the proceeding. Again, the commission's public advisor's office, not to be confused with the public advocate's office, is in the lobby, and if you have not signed up to speak, please do so. There's also a court reporter here this morning that's going to take down a record of the comments. The official transcript for this morning's hearing will be posted in the docket sheet for the proceeding and will become a formal part of the evidentiary record. So please speak at a moderate speed. When you come up to the podium, we're going to ask you to state your name and spell your last name to make sure that we again get an accurate record. For those of you not familiar with the commission's proceeding, again, parties present testimony and evidence supporting their position in the proceeding. Parties may reach a settlement on certain issues, and if they do, they would propose that settlement to the commission for consideration. In this proceeding, evidentiary hearings are currently scheduled again for September 23rd through 27th in our San Francisco office. After parties submit testimony, evidentiary hearings are held and submit briefing on the matter. It's submitted to the commission. The assigned administrative law judge, which in this proceeding would be myself, prepares a proposed decision. The signed commissioner or other commissioners may also issue an alternate decision, reaching different conclusions if they so determine. The proposed decision and any alternate would then be presented to the commission for a vote. Prior to it being on the agenda for a vote, the parties will have an opportunity to provide comment on that decision. So again, the public participation hearing held last night and this morning is an opportunity for the public to provide the commission with information useful in reaching conclusions and making decisions. And the primary purpose of today's hearing is to hear from you. So we're now going to go ahead and hear from the public. Again, we're going to ask that you speak at a moderate speed, state your name, spell your last name, and if the speaker before you, you're in agreement with what they say, you need not repeat everything that they said, but you may comment that you agree with them. Typically, we provide 3 minutes for public speakers. We have 7 speakers at this time, so I'm going to use my discretion and I may allow folks to go over, but please be concise in your statements. And again, the court reporter is taking down the statements. If you have written copies of your statements, please provide a copy to the court reporter. And also, written comments can be submitted in the proceeding. The public advisor's office can provide you direction on how to do that. There's no specific deadline in regards to submitting those comments. However, if you can submit them prior to the start of evidentiary hearings, it would give both myself and the commissioner sufficient time to review those and consider those as we're moving forward in drafting the proposed decision. So with that, the first 3 speakers are June Cochran, Jim D'Antona, and Mike Brown. And again, please remember to state your name and spell your last name for the court reporter.
June Cochran, C-O-C-H-R-A-N, from Shell Beach. My primary concern is safety. Thus, I urge the purchase of the most robust casks for dry storage that is currently available, especially since there's so many earthquake faults right there. We need the highest quality. I would like the Diablo Canyon Decommissioning Engagement Panel funded, and I encourage the donation of the land surrounding the plant for public access as mitigation for land use over the past 40 years. I understand that PG&E has requested 12% guaranteed profit. Considering they're in bankruptcy, 10% seems more than accurate. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. D'Antona?
Good morning. Jim D'Antona, D-A-N-T-O-N-A, President, CEO of the San Luis Obispo Chamber of Commerce. I am a member, the chamber is a member of the 13 community organization coalition that presented last night, submitted a letter, but on behalf of the chamber, I would like to make a few points to strongly urge the CPUC to fund the decommissioning for PG&E of Diablo Canyon Power Plant to a level that ensures the decommissioning will take place in the safest and most efficient way possible. Safety is a key. Funding these services at the full level necessary ensures that the safety of the transition. Additionally, a full funding level allows for the efficiency to happen in the most expedited way possible. This will allow our community to get back to the original level that the site was developed at and not be mothballed or slowly changed back to its original level. The rates need to be set at an appropriate level to meet 100% of the anticipated cost required with a responsible contingency to decommission the site back to its original condition in a safe and efficient, respectful manner. Sufficient funding is going to be critical, and we ask that you fund PG&E's decommissioning plan to 100% and take meticulous oversight of how the money is spent. We thank you for your time and considering our region's continued role as a steward of nuclear generation and storage in this proceeding, and ask that we not be left with a problem after the decommissioning panel. Thank you.
Thank you. Mike Brown.
Your Honor, my name is Mike Brown, that's B-R-O-W-N, and I'm the Government Affairs Director of the Coalition of Labor, Agriculture, and Business of San Luis Obispo County, and I'm also speaking for our sister organization, the Coalition of Labor, Agriculture, and Business of Santa Barbara County. Together, we represent thousands of members who are in agriculture, ranching, manufacturing, refining, hospitality industries, all sorts of transportation, maintenance, construction, and so forth in both of these counties. CoLab of Santa Barbara County has been in business for 29 years, and CoLab of Slo County had its 10th anniversary this spring. Our main concern is that there be reliable 24/7 electrical power to make all these businesses work, not to mention their employees, the homeowners, and everybody else. So we support PG&E's application and recognize that as a 100-year-old legacy company, it has been providing reliable power for a large part of this state, and it's very important. We also want PG&E to continue as a private sector investor-owned company, and I think we're going to learn over time how important that is, given all the new ideas such as community choice energy at this time. One of the things that was mentioned here earlier today was the use of land or returning land to a Native American tribe. And one of our hospitality members is the Chumash Casino Resort in Santa Ynez in Santa Barbara County, and this has been a tremendously beneficial business, generating 1,800 career-benefited jobs and leveraging a lot more of the economic activity. And in thinking about it, maybe one of the solutions to the negative economic impacts of closing the plant would be some sort of casino resort in a beautiful location here, and that would benefit the tribe, and it would leverage huge economic benefit to this community, and can be on a very small site, you know, 20, 40 acres or something out of the total. So, Your Honor, thank you very much, and I'm available for any questions.
Thank you. The next three speakers are Lauren Brown, George Sullivan, and Eric Greening.
Good morning, Your Honor. My name is Lauren Brown. Last name is B-R-O-W-N. My comments might slightly exceed the 3 minutes, but it's important that you hear all of the points that I have, if you would work with me. I'm a member of the Diablo Canyon Decommissioning Engagement Panel, but I'm here today to provide my personal testimony on several matters. By way of background, I would like you to be aware that I have a PhD in organic chemistry and co-founded a specialty biochemical company here in San Luis Obispo, where I spent the bulk of my career. In the last 18 months of service on the engagement panel, I, along with the rest of our members, have gained considerable knowledge about key issues that are important to the planned decommissioning of Diablo Canyon Power Plant. uppermost in my mind is that it is essential to this community that the decommissioning begin promptly following the end of power generation. In a process commonly referred to as decon, as opposed to the safe store process that would let the facility sit idle for decades waiting for radiation to diminish naturally. Our community has a keen interest in repurposing the lands into some kind of permanent conservation and to repurpose at least part of the infrastructure that is part of the operation at the power plant. Such outcomes could be delayed possibly for decades if decon were not followed. Therefore, I strongly support PG&E's request for a rate increase to assure a complete, safe, and timely decommissioning. I also want to be sure that PG&E has adequate funds to enable the near-term planning to prepare for decon. Secondly, I wish to voice my strong support for the continued existence of the Diablo Canyon Independent Safety Committee. Here, my background as a trained scientist and entrepreneur should establish the credibility of my advice to the CPUC on this matter. Our panels had a number of opportunities to interact with members of the Independent Safety Committee and to solicit their input on matters of power plant operation that are of interest to our engagement panel. I have been greatly impressed with the qualifications and knowledge of the committee members and with their decades-long attention to practically every detail of the Diablo Canyon power plant operation. Their support staff is also very capable. I advise that the CPUC certainly should continue the operation of the Independent Safety Committee and even extend their operation past the end of power generation to include at least the number of years, likely between 7 and 10, past 2025 while spent fuel remains in the wet pools. Further, you should be aware that I proposed to our engagement panel that we should view the Independent Safety Committee as a resource for technical matters that relate to plant operation. The Independent Safety Committee has indicated to us that they are willing to provide such technical input as long as the questions do relate to plant operation and not to decommissioning per se. My recommendation was adopted with only one dissenting vote on our engagement panel and therefore is included in our vision document, of which a copy is in the CPUC's possession. Finally, I wish to advise the CPUC strongly to continue the existence of the current engagement panel and to enable its operation by permitting PG&E to cover its costs through funding approved by the CPUC. I know you have received a dissenting opinion on this issue and the one above from another member of our panel. And while I am speaking to you as a private citizen and not as a member of the engagement panel, I want you to be fully aware that with one dissenting voice, all the rest of the members of our panel do support the continued existence of the current panel. We have recently taken additional steps to strengthen the operation of the panel and our ability to assure that we are accurately reflecting the desires of the community and that we are offering the best possible advice to PG&E and to the CPUC and other regulatory bodies on issues relevant to the decommissioning of the Diablo Canyon power plant. In summary, number one, I support PG&E's request for a rate increase. Number two, I support the continued operation of the Independent Safety Committee through the end of wet pool storage of spent fuel. And finally, number three, I support the continued operation of the engagement panel as currently constituted. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And the next speaker is George Sullivan.
Good morning, Your Honor. My name is George Sullivan, S-U-L-L-I-V-A-N. I represent nobody other than just a ratepayer. And I just want to strongly object to the ratepayers being the deep pockets for this decommissioning, in my opinion, folly. I feel that there are there's billions and many billions of dollars of investor dollars. Some would call that speculative dollars, that they may take a hard hit. But that is what happens when you speculate. Another option is maybe leaving the plant open for another 10 years. They have a very good safety track record, and the monies needed could be targeted during that period of time of extension. So, again, I just want to speak as an individual and say that I strongly object to the ratepayers being the deep pockets for whatever big business has trouble with. Thank you.
Thank you. Eric Greening.
Good morning. I'm Eric Greening from Atascadero, and I want to speak to the...
You please spell your name for the court.
G-R-E-E-N-I-N-G, and the Eric is the Norwegian style with a C. I want to speak to the CEQA process and the county's role as a lead agency. This is probably going to be the most extensive and critically important CEQA process the county has ever served as a lead agency on. And so I want to alert all parties to proposed changes in the county's CEQA guidelines that are slipping in under a process that is not even labeled as such, but as part of a housing package. There have been two sets of minor revisions to the county's CEQA guidelines already acted on as part of the housing package. But given the written proposals by something known as the CEQA Working Group, and given some of the dialogue that happened at the last hearing on the housing package, it's pretty clear that some very extensive changes are likely being fast-tracked for the fall, again, as part of the housing package. CEQA is often beat up on as if it's an obstacle to getting stuff done, and in the case of housing, an obstacle to affordable housing. But changes in how the county does EIRs won't just apply to housing. As a matter of fact, EIRs almost never happen on housing projects unless it's an agricultural cluster or some special circumstances like massive damage to cultural resources. Most of these changes will affect larger projects, and particularly this project. And so I think the first thing that it's critical to do is make sure that before the supervisors make a political decision on proposed changes to the county's CEQA guidelines, that they be run through the County Planning Commission, which makes most of the environmental determinations. The supervisors only get the ones that are appeals or general plan amendments, but the County Planning Commission is constantly making CEQA determinations. They should be asked to weigh in on and wordsmith on any changes before they get to the Board of Supervisors level. And this will also give the public more of an opportunity to know what's being proposed, which could include such things as no longer having all EIRs done by supposedly impartial parties, but potentially by applicants or by consultants selected by the applicants. And there's a whole other shopping list of very major changes that have been advocated for by this CEQA working group. In any event, I just want to alert all parties that for the integrity of the CEQA process, we need to remember that its purpose is not to slow things down or to be an obstacle to getting stuff done, but to ensure environmental justice and the most effective, safest project descriptions and the most effective justice of mitigations to affected communities, human and otherwise. And CEQA contains everything it needs to for things to be done, even when they are environmentally deleterious. There's always the overriding considerations, but shortcuts and streamlining are not appropriate whatsoever to this massive project that is before us. And I would hope that the county would exercise its oversight responsibilities as a lead agency with full awareness of the awesome responsibility to present and future generations that this entails, and that streamlining as part of the housing package not be considered relevant to huge projects and endeavors such as this one. Again, I alert everyone to take an interest in the housing package and the CEQA guidelines part of it and try to get the maximum possible exposure and planning commission oversight before it goes to the Board of Supervisors. Thank you.
Thank you. The last speaker I have listed is Mike Lewis.
Yeah, my name's Mike Lewis. It's spelled L-E-W-I-S. I just like to introduce myself. I've resided in the county since 1999. I have a residence there in Oceana, 211 Beach Street. And I also have had three residents in Paradise, California. I, on Edgewood, where there were four people that were burned to death, I had to escape the fire. I almost burned to death. And the reason, the cause of that fire was PG&E. They were supposed to turn off the electricity. I was worried for a whole week. We were getting winds up to 30 to 40 miles per hour, and I was hoping they would turn that electricity off. They never did. I'm just bringing up the credibility of this company. They were supposed to repair the lines in the Caribou, Palomo, North Fork of the Feather River as late as 2018 of June and never got around to it. They had allocations of money in 2013 to repair those lines, which are over 100 years old, and they never got around to doing it. They were supposed to, they notified a woman up there who had a resort, and they were supposed to come up and repair that at that time, and they never did. I'm just trying to bring up the credibility of this company. They are a convicted felon. They are being investigated again for a convicted felon. So now what they want to do is raise our rates. A hedge fund has made over $500 million off speculation of their stock. I think that we need to reorganize this company. We need to allocate rebates if they do raise our rates for the ratepayers, or advocate a public utility. They are a dangerous company. They spent millions of dollars lobbying even our governor of $250,000. $250,000. They spent money on dividends, but when it came to safety, that was their last investment. That's all I have to say.
Thank you. And just for public information purposes, I am also the assigned judge in the investigation on the PG&E wildfires, and I will take this excerpt and make sure that it's included as public comment for that proceeding to ensure that both proceedings are aware of those comments. Is there any other member of the public that has not spoken that would like to make a public comment today?
Okay, seeing none, I want to thank everyone for their participation in coming out this morning. I also want to remind folks that if you want to submit additional comments, written comments, please talk to the public advisor if you need additional information on that process. There is not a specific deadline for doing that, but I would strongly encourage you to do it before the beginning of evidentiary hearings so that we can properly consider that in moving forward with our determination on the proceeding. And with that, again, thank you, and this proceeding is concluded off the record.